There was a phrase in that anthem that struck me this morning, because it is reflective of how I feel today. When I tread the verge of Jordan, there is something about stepping into this space that one cannot help but be reminded of the great legacy of ministry, of preaching, and the influence that this congregation has had down through the years. And it needs to come with some sense of sobriety, right? I mean, those who enter this space need to be cognizant of that reality, to bear that mantle with care and with the mantle of humility, I would think. So I come to you this morning with that sense of humility and that awareness of treading on the verge of a historic place like the Jordan River, which blends itself then to our text this morning, which is the location of where Jesus was baptized. And we have moved from the Christmas theme of Jesus as a baby that is now past, and we are now introduced to an adult Jesus. That's past. We go from infancy to adulthood. Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist. And it challenges me because immediately I'm asked, in my own, at least as I process this passage, I'm asked to deal with some pretty significant theological issues. Baptism is one of the two sacraments of this tradition, and I want to be careful about how I approach the baptism of Christ, because I build the bridge into the gospel readings that those gospel stories have an arc of impact to us today. And so I hope you hear this message this morning, not only as a message about humanity, as we talk about Jesus' baptism, but also as a message about you and about me. This is the remarkable thing about good news. It needs to not only be good news for humanity, but it needs to be good news for you. The title of my message this morning is The Day That God Identified with Humanity. And if you ask the question, why did Jesus have to be baptized? We think about this sinless, perfect Messiah. Why does Jesus need to be baptized? John's baptism was for repentance and to invite people to return to the God of Israel. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? And I think there's a number of ways we can answer that question, but for today, I'd like to answer the question this way. Jesus wanted to identify with humanity. More specifically, he wanted to identify with you and with me. So we're going to tread into uncertain territory to a certain extent. We talk about identity. Know what your process of becoming the person that you are has been, but when I was growing up, I went through various phases of understanding who I am or who I was at that time. When I was young, I was Nate and Joanne's boy. Those were my parents. In school, I wasn't particularly known for my athleticism. Wasn't the smartest kid in the class. I wasn't the class clown, but I kind of considered myself the class quipper. You know, like the Dick Cavett sort of quipper. You know, you sort of come off with that little smart phrase just at the right time. Your timing is impeccable, and it makes all the kids around you sort of snicker and laugh. In college, I was the person behind the person. I would help a person be elected student body president. I was never quite brave enough to run for student body president myself. But I was lockstep behind, whispering in that person's ear, telling them exactly what they needed to know, how they needed to respond to every situation. And then at some point in my journey, I became a worker. Was that who I am? Is that the ultimate goal of my existence and my personality? Is that the guiding principle that is going to be what has turned out to be much of my adult life? And it certainly was the case. I was a reverend, a pastor, until I found myself outside the organized church. Then who am I? Who do I identify as? Let's broaden that conversation just a little bit. Maybe you in your own journey one day had a health event, the crisis, the diagnosis, a new equation. Does it determine who you are? Are you the person with cancer, or the person with a heart condition, or the person with diabetes? Certainly such an overwhelming diagnosis seems to want to rule your life. Maybe you're defined by your job, or your gender, or your race, or your marriage. Whether you're single or divorced, or whether you have children, or the fact that you don't have children, or you have addictions and or appetites, these may be the things that define you. Form your identity, either by design or by default. You may have fallen into some bad habits over the years, and they have been ingrained and become part of your personality. Maybe you're defined by what you've lost: money, status. Or maybe you feel like you're trapped, or a victim, or subservient to culture, or the economy, or you're engaged in abusive relationships and you can't get out, or you've found yourself occupying some twisted roles. Among a new generation of people, they're hearing messages both at home and at school and around the community, that on a daily basis, they can choose to make their identity out of nothing. That they can formulate and change daily. They can take on the personality and the person of whatever they choose. I remember digging a little bit deeper into my own story. I am a partially adopted child. What I mean by that is that my birth father died just before I was born. A couple years later, my mother remarried, and that husband adopted me. And over the years, living with the two of them, I realized and discovered that there are elements of identity that are built into our DNA. Family traits, personality uniquenesses. So that when I began to get exposed to my birth family, the extended members, uncles and cousins, and I began to hear things that I had never before heard in my life. Oh, you talk like your Uncle Elmer. Oh, you walk just like, you know, somebody else in the family. These were new ideas and concepts, that there was some motivation deeper woven into my being that I had never encountered before. And having been stripped to some degree in my growing up years of these connections to heritage and to past, it can cause a crisis of identity. And I wonder if you're here this morning, as I have gone through this litany of various dealings of identity, and I just wonder if there's somebody here today that wishes at some point that they could have done a do-over. I want to say to you that it is into just such a world that Jesus entered. Some of these things you've heard before, but just to review his life a little bit, Jesus was born the illegitimate son, by worldly standards, of a young teenage girl, raised by a foster father. The family had to immediately flee as a refugee to Egypt because of the political situation in Judea. And when the family returned home, there was always this cloud hanging over them because of the circumstances of Jesus' birth. Yet, Jesus seemed born to a destiny. He was wise beyond his years. At the age of 12, he was precocious enough to teach the elders about the things of the Heavenly Father. And between the ages of 12 and 30, our information gets rather sketchy. Until we find Jesus beside the river, asking John the Baptist to baptize him. Just as John had done to hundreds, if not thousands of others, as a sign of repentance and a return to the God of Israel. A public pronouncement of Jesus' role and ministry is how we have sort of characterized this moment. As John pronounces the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and as the heavens opened in our passage that we read this morning, and God pronounced several things, "My Son, whom I love, I'm pleased with him." The Congregationalist tradition views baptism as a sacrament related to the covenant of grace. And the reason that we have a sacrament of baptism is rooted very much in this behavior, this act of Jesus by the River Jordan. A visible sign that God had given to confirm that this individual has God's covenant promises through God's Word. There's something about this sacrament that identifies us with Christ. Christ's way of the cross and his resurrection, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6. We are buried with him by baptism unto death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You see, I make this assertion to you this morning, and you can decide whether it is applicable or not, that Jesus comes to give us the identity that we have yearned for since creation. The fellowship with God, the unity of personhood, the depth of connection, the equal footing before our Creator, that there is something missing at the very core of our being, that if we don't enter into the identity of Christ, we lack it throughout our entire lives. And so when Jesus went out to the river to be baptized, he was, without a doubt, declaring himself fully human. Without that identity with us, we could never find our own true identity. I think the ultimate goal that we yearn for is to become like Christ, to reflect the presence of Christ's Spirit dwelling in us, empower this way, transformed in this fashion, and identified by Christ. Then, every action, every decision, every conversation, every interaction, even every purchase is a reflection of the true you. Paul put it this way when he wrote the Galatians in chapter 3. "For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Then he goes into a list of identities. People listen to these. "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." The problem of identity is not anything new, although it seems as if today everybody is undergoing some sort of identity crisis. Even Superman and Batman seem to be having a "who am I" crisis moment. But there is something about the new self being raised up in the knowledge of our Creator. Baptism matters because it is a visible response to our faith, to the promises of God. And I want to say it again. Without Jesus identifying with us, we could not find our true identity. So why is baptism important? Because it identifies us with the one who was there at the beginning. Jesus, the Word. The Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word. He draws an arc, the Gospel does, to connect us with a very human Jesus, born of a young girl into a deeply broken world. And on this Sunday, I invite you to identify with the one who first identified with you. I want the mark and the sign of Christ to be on me. I declare the death of my past and my hands, to experience the burial and resurrection, to the power of being who I was created to be, power to live each moment in the Spirit of the one who created me. If you've never taken a step to identifying with Christ through baptism, I hope that you will give serious consideration to that possibility today. I'd even be glad to talk to you about it. God adds His blessing to the declarer of His word.